Torpedo Run, written by Douglas Riemann and read by David Rintoul.
Chapter 1, Recall. Lieutenant Commander John Devane sat in a plain wooden bench seat and regarded the opposite wall. Grey, rough concrete. You could even see where the first layer had been tamped home. The brief professional interest passed just as quickly as it had emerged, and he sank back again, outwardly relaxed, but his mind busy with the distant sounds, the feeling of being off balance, lost. The room was little more than a space curtained off from one of many such corridors beneath the Admiralty building in London. A far-off murmur was like the sea across a scattered reef, but it was traffic, red buses which still managed to make splashes of colour against the dust and rubble of wartime London, and taxis which never seemed to see you when you needed one, and people on the move, endless, restless throngs, many in the uniforms of countries occupied by them, as his mother called them, the enemy. Devane glanced at his watch. Again, the movement was easy and without waste. It was 11 in the forenoon, a May day in 1943, but down here it could have been anywhere, any time. He thought briefly of his leave, the first he had had for many months. He tried to resist the feeling that he was glad it had been interrupted by this summons to the Admiralty after only 4 days. Perhaps that was what you needed after the blood and guts of the Mediterranean War. Any longer, and maybe you're too scared to go back. His home was in Dorset, or had been in that other pre-war world. It was strange to go back, for unlike London and other major towns and cities, Dorchester seemed to move more slowly, as if reluctant to accept that change would ever come. His father was still running the family business, where he himself had once been employed as a fledgling architect, although now there seemed very little to do unless it was under some government contract or other. His mother had grown older, but not so much that it caused surprise or pain on their rare meetings. The curtain was plucked aside, and Devane saw a small Wren studying him, her hair shining in the corridor lighting behind her. "Captain Whitcomb will see you shortly, sir." Devane reached for his cap and stood up, adjusting himself for this unexpected interview. He knew Whitcomb from way back, a bluff, red-faced captain who had been in retirement before the war and had been slotted into a desk job to allow someone else to take over a bridge at sea. Unlike some, Whitcomb seemed to have dropped into a niche which suited him perfectly. Devane fell in step beside the little Wren and wondered if she had a boyfriend, if she liked her job underground, what she would say if he took her by the arm and... She paused by a steel door, which was labelled Special Operations, and waited for Devane to open it. The door weighed a ton, and he guessed she always had to do that. Another concrete box, with clattering typewriters, harsh lighting, and engrossed Wrens bustling about with signals and files as if Devane were invisible. A Wren's second officer looked up from her desk. "Wait here, please. I'll tell Captain Whitcomb you've arrived." He nodded and ran his fingers through his hair. It was as unruly as ever, and nearly 4 years of active service had not improved it. He thought about his last commission, the North African coast, sunshine and washed-out blue skies, or the fierce offshore winds which tore your face with dust and desert sand. What were they going to do with him? Not back to the Med, surely. Perhaps to the Channel, to the motor torpedo base at Felixstowe, where it had all started. His mother had exclaimed angrily, "It's not right to recall you so soon, John. There are plenty around here who've never been in uniform." Whereas his father, as mild as ever, had said, "I expect they know what they're doing. Our boy's important." Important. Devane smiled to himself. His father had really meant it. It had certainly been a long haul from those other days when he had started to work for his father. Looking back, it all seemed to have been spring or summer. Every weekend, down to the coast in the green sports car he owned jointly with his best friend Tony, sailing their old sloop round Portland Bill, pints afterwards in a pub at Weymouth. And later, more for a bet than anything, when they had both joined the peacetime Royal Naval Volunteer Reserve, he should have seen what might happen. What was still happening. Now the old sloop and the sports car were gone. Tony, too, for that matter. Killed in a minesweeper within sight of the Portland Bill they had both loved so much.